We live.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you go.
All right. Hey guys, welcome to the first ever Syncretist Society podcast. My name is Danielle Rodenroth, the founder and CEO of soulmapping.life, which is a mystery school training opportunity for anyone that is interested in learning more about the codes of existence. And I have my awesome good friend and business partner here with me, Alex Corey, who is the founder and CEO of Cultivated Change and expert on all things that have to do with, well, you have many talents, nutrition, fitness,
I dabble,
tech.
Yeah. Dabbler.
Yeah.
I'll chop this part out. I'm ready to look.
Oh, yeah.
There. If you want.
Okay, yeah, maybe that's better.
And just look at the screen. That'll be better. Does that help?
Yeah.
I can chop any of this.
Okay.
So fine.
All right, good. So, yeah, we just wanted to share with you guys more about a lot of things that we've been working on. Both of us have been working on this Syncretist Society now for several months, and prior to us meeting, we've had our own, development, our own mastery in our different fields, and we've come together to share a lot about these codes and how to maximize really both the body and the consciousness together to potentiate your unique experience. So, yeah, we're just going to see where this call goes today. Yep. And
at some point, I'm going to ask you about your origin story, about how you came to design, because that one was interesting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, yeah, from like a really young age, I was into psychology and always into like self-help because I was trying to understand myself more and how others think and just really always curious about the mind. And, throughout the years, I dabbled in a lot of different philosophies and teachings and religions and got into native plant medicines and traveled outside of the country for several years. Got into astrology and learned about like the cycles and how to evaluate different patterns and how that affects things. I was starting my nonprofit called HUGS for Humans Unifying Global Solutions before I left to go to Peru. And one of my board members, he was like, oh, I found this thing called human design. Let me pull your chart. This was like over 10 years ago. And I pulled my chart. And I was like, oh my God, what is this? It's so fascinating. So I started researching like as much as I could. And, it all aligned with, what I already knew about astrology, but on a much deeper, more specific level. And then several times throughout this journey, I was given, libraries and lots of information from people that worked
here. Use this?
Yeah, pretty much, while in the jungles of these, Central and South American countries, which was really random, but it's happened more than once. So basically for the last several years, I've been, diving into all this material and distilling it down into documents and just organizing all the information, like combined with the other stuff that I'm into as well. That was a pretty fun situation.
So do you think coming from your experience as someone else who had even a remotely similar origin story who ended with design would have a completely different take on it? Or would there be more that was similar than there would be that was dissimilar?
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of what human design teaches us too, is that we're each like our own unique filters. Like we are all filtering this field, right? Life, what it's composed of is this neutrino ocean, and we all have our own different codes. So yeah, everyone has their own completely different experiences, even if they had a similar origin story of how they got into design. Even human design talks about how, fractal lines and how only certain people are on the fractal line to get the information, right? And it's not the only way to the truth. Human design talks about how there's 66 different ways, and human design is one of them.
Give me five other ones.
Wow. Well, I mean,
the biggest ones.
It could be anyway. I mean, you know, you could get to your unique consciousness through meditation, mm-hmm. or you know, lots of different ways: religions, philosophies, other teachings, other modalities, whatever it is that can tap you into your truth and not the homogenized version of your consciousness.
When you say homogenized, kind of cookie cutter.
Yeah, just okay. You know, the condition dwindled right. down. Not self.
Boxed, easy idea.
Right, yeah, right. Okay. Kind of like the movie The Matrix. Yeah. You know, the red pill, blue pill. You know, we're all kind of in this matrix, this illusion.
So the blue pill will be the homogenization.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good way to describe this stuff is the red pill.
On all levels.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can red pill with individual subjects. So you go... I think most people, I started in food cultivation and money. It's usually one of those two. It's either finance or food where people first go, oh, this works absolutely nothing like how I thought it did.
Right.
Finance, when you figure out how money's made.
Yeah.
That's a paradigm shifter. And then I do nutrition because people think food is food.
Right.
And you're like, if it was 150 years ago and it were your grandparents or your grandparents' parents, probably you'd get away with that, but not anymore.
Yeah.
That's a whole different rabbit hole.
Yeah, the finance stuff, it's funny you bring that up because mm-hmm. that's actually like what led to my awakening because I was working for this company and helping people with like rearranging their finances and their debts and all of that. And so I wanted to do a lot of research mm-hmm. to see what was going on. And I was like, oh, wait, fractional reserve banking.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? You know, and then that just led to, you know, so many different things, the food system, all of that.
They don't stop.
Yep. Yep. It was a, I don't know, over 15-year rabbit hole that I'm still in,
mm-hmm.
diving into all that stuff. And yeah, so Alex and I have a lot of similar background when it comes to just having curious minds about what's really going on in our world and, you know, all the illusions, you know, and digging deeper to find out what the truth is with everything.
Yeah, and you don't have to shift your belief system just on hearing something, but it's just that curiosity.
Where you're like,
once you figure out one thing was completely different than how you were taught, or how your parents taught you or how school taught you, you're like, I have a feeling this is everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
One other thing that I'm going to end up asking at some point, and other people might have a question, is can you explain keynote again? Because that comes up in almost all of our discussions.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it just seems language is the barrier to any esoteric or ancient or mystery school teaching, because all practices have different words for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So is that kind of what a keynote is?
Yeah, and that brings up a good point. So I'll address that and kind of give a background too, because when you look at any of these coded systems, whether it's astrology or genetics or any of the codes like geometry and math and all of this, they're actually all languages. So human design is a language. And when you hear the word keynote, it's kind of like, I think of it like a symbol or a sigil. It's like a specific word that, you know, carries a lot of other meaning behind it.
Right.
So that's something that human design allows us to work through is stringing together the keynotes or the labels of these particular angles, these archetypes, like, oh, I'm a manifesting generator with this and that, but it means all these other things. And I think that that's really the gift and the strong point of all of these systems is that it gives you like a clarity mm-hmm. and precision with communication, right? Because so many people use the same words, but they have completely different meanings. Yeah. So it does give you that precision, like, okay, what is intuition? All right, so we can look at that, and it goes into, like, mechanically what it is. Oh, it's actually fear, right? And it's actually coming from, you know, your immune system. And it's part of something that's meant to keep you alive, right, and that you can pay attention to. It's the gut feeling, right? But not everyone's designed to operate by leading with that, right? So just redefining a lot of things because – especially in the time period that we're in like evolution, right? Because human design really talks about not just the design of humans, but it's the design of consciousness in form. And so it talks about the
big one.
Yeah, the wheel of like evolution. So we can look throughout the whole fractal, right? All the way out to the macrocosm, these grand cycles that all of these other systems and philosophies have talked about through mm-hmm. the ages and all of that. And it talks a lot about how we can understand what time period we're in as like a collective consciousness. Really what the field is asking us to do, right? Like what this time period is trying to extract out of the filtering units, which is us, right? What it's extracting out for the consciousness of the totality. So especially in this time right now, which we'll probably get into this in future podcasts, sure. We are like almost at a mutation. So we're in a very, I don't know if entropic is a word, but you know, we're in this like space of entropy and chaos and right before a mutation, you know, sinks. So really we're all being called to operate in our own unique consciousness. And we have this like closing door that we're approaching. So having that clarity with the languaging and all of that is pretty important.
And the more I go into etymology or just the roots of words, if anyone doesn't think magic is real,
right?
If you just start digging into where words come from,
uh-huh.
You're like, oh, these are just spells.
Yeah.
Like, this is what spells mean. Spelling. That's why it's spelling.
Yeah.
Just because they're everything, seemingly everything older had more power and meaning to it and kind of hit harder, and sort of the degradation of language and common language kind of dumbs everything down a little bit and takes the impact and and weight out of words a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
A couple other ones that pop to mind other than the keynote that I know people are going to have completely different abstract things pop in their head. God.
Yeah.
Biggest one.
Yeah.
And that's going to come up eventually. Love is a tricky one.
Uh-huh.
Because some people think of that as just a neurochemical thing with release of neurotransmitters and hormones. Some people think of it as a very esoteric concept. Well, going to all of those. And religion's a weird one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, and I kind of knew we were going to get into that, and I was like, I wonder if we're going to talk about God on the first call.
Well, it might not be a first call. You know,
but it is interesting because I do get asked, like, those questions a lot, too. And, you know, it's more of, like, a mechanical understanding of things. And, yeah, especially with that turning of the wheel where we are at now in evolution, there's a lot of things that are, like, coming out of the collective consciousness, like all these spiritual programs and, like, you know, different things going on with the politics, and you even see the degradation of language even with like pronouns and like things like that. It's very strange, and even sexual stuff, we can get into that. But yeah, I mean, it's something where we're being asked to kind of go into this clearer consciousness and know what are these things? What is love? What is religion? What is God? How can we describe it like mentally to have an understanding of that? And that's really what this turning of the wheel, the mutation is. It's like the revealing or the light switch turning on, or we're like, oh, this is actually what life is. Like mentally we can grasp it, because where do we come from? What happens when we die? What are we doing here? Like, what is this, right? And that's like what this time frame is doing, the neutrino field, the, you know, ocean, the part of the ocean that we're traveling through right now, that's what we're all extracting out. So
we're starting with exciting. The light, fluffy concepts, right?
Yeah. Just some light contemplation. It's fine.
So you said neutrino field.
Yes.
So I was talking with one of my pretty intelligent friends the other day and glazed over at neutrino ocean.
Yeah.
Can you give a brief, since that is kind of the fundamental of where your chart comes from.
Right.
And all of that.
Yeah.
In your words, what would the
like, what does that mean? Yeah. And it's funny, right before we did this call, I was like, oh, I can't wait to do the first class in the initiation training, because we're going to be talking about, you know, the concepts of like, what is time, movement, like, what is all this stuff right here, you know? And that's all can be described in the understanding of neutrinos. So neutrinos are, you know, smaller than the subatomic particles. And it's actually one of the proofs of human design, because prior to, I think it was in the 90s, or it might have been late 90s, that scientists had discovered the neutrinos had mass. So neutrinos travel just under the speed of light, and they oscillate between three different states, right? And so we know about, like, quantum physics, too, with the slit experiment, the observer aspect, where they also, I think they split, an electron, and they
spread it against a wall.
You know, they put them separated, like, one out in space, though.
Yeah.
And one here, and whatever they did to this one, it, like, they could see with the other one that it was affected. I mean, we're seeing that the neutrino ocean, which are these subatomic particles that travel very fast. They come from stars. They come from life. That's it. And this is actually going to go into aliens and all of that kind of stuff, right? The star beings. So the neutrino ocean is like this background field. So if we kind of think of life and the movement, the perception of time as like moving through these particles, they're everywhere, right? They're like seriously hitting you at like billions a second, right? And you're processing one at a time. So it's like, right? So this is what's going through, yes, your pineal gland and all of this through your whole body. And there's a particular pathway that it goes through the filterings of certain planets. And there's a whole process of that. But the ocean is the background field created from stars and some planets. And a lot of it, mostly 70% of it, comes from our sun. So if we think about it, we're living in this ocean, right? All this stuff,
right?
And as we're moving through, we are like a sponge, extracting, you know, organic machine that's like, it's just filtering. They're moving through us. And it's giving us information. So the fact that they are just under the speed of light, and in the late 90s or whenever it was that they discovered that neutrinos have mass, this was what the proof is for human design, because human design predicted that, I think, like 10 years or more before that. And that's like the science even of how astrology works. It's the planets aren't causing things. They're filtering this ocean, right? So that gives us a whole other understanding of that.
Can I say decoding? Coating the ocean?
Yeah. I mean, so the reason that they carry mass and why that's important is because whenever the neutrino hits something, and because, again, they're oscillating between different states, means it's very hard to measure them. They have to measure them in, like, deep ice with these very weird instruments, and took them a long time to discover that. But they travel through things, and it's like when a red car hits a white car. So the neutrino passes through, let's say it's the white car, it hits the red car, us, and it gives us a little bit of the white car, and we give them a little bit of the red car, the paint, right? So it carries information, it brings information, and it even goes back to explaining, like, oh, we're made of stardust. It's not a woo-woo concept anymore. Like, this is actually what has created us, you know? The neutrinos are what creates the experience of life. Life is a formula. Right, so we have a vehicle, we have these different aspects of consciousness, not just one. We'll be getting into duality, the biverse, right? It's not a universe, and the old, you know, yin yang and how that operates. Yeah. But the neutrino ocean is the program, it is the matrix, it is the illusion. We call it the Maya, right? So this is what we're traveling through to experience what our consciousness is here to contribute to the totality.
So when you say you're swimming through it, is if you have an experience with an altered state of consciousness, are you no longer in the ocean, or does it include that?
No, the ocean's always here.
Okay.
Right? It's like we can't get away from the air.
Right.
Right? You know, it's like everywhere.
Why would, so when someone says that is the matrix, as in it's all around you, you breathe it, things like that, there are experiences that some people have that would seemingly let them get out of that briefly and escape time and history and all of that. But would the neutrinos still be there wherever you go, whenever you have an altered state?
Yeah, it's the infinite.
Gotcha.
You know, that's the mechanism of God, the all-knowing, the everywhere,
so
the
omnipotent. So it's what some people would call consciousness, not the intelligent embodied consciousness, but kind of that consciousness is everywhere, sort of the vacuum, inhabits the vacuum.
Yeah, and it's like the food for consciousness. Right. It's like what the reel on the movie, you know, the film.
A good one.
Like you know, that's like being played through us.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what we talk about when we are talking about the evolution, right? If we're looking at like a macro scale and like what's happening in this time frame, where are we in the ocean? Okay. Right, so that's what we're looking at. It's like, what are the neutrinos pumping in?
Okay. Yeah. And your specific design is just how you interact with that ocean.
Yeah, exactly. Like your particular codes.
Yep.
Yep. It's like there was one huge mirror in the beginning.
Right.
Let's say it was like a, this is an analogy, like it's a big mirror before the start. Right. It wasn't a big bang. It was a great shattering. Whatever. So, yeah, basically we all have a piece of this shattered mirror, right, that is able to read and have the aspect of consciousness. So it's like consciousness as a whole shattered so that it can have these experiences of differentiation to extract something new and to evolve.
Okay.
Yeah.
The that explanation, whenever I hear people, very reductionist, scientifically minded people, arguing about the Big Bang and how the creation of the universe, as any ancient text describes it, where God just went. I was like, why is that different than the big... You're just making things out of nothing. It's the same thing. It's different language.
Yeah.
The same thing. Like, we can prove that. And you're like, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, same concept.
Uh-huh.
Entirely different. That's our Western culture interpreting that same event.
Right.
So, that was a fractal mirror?
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a, you know, it's a piece of information. And, and the whole thing with, like, different theories, modalities, religions, all of these things is that, yeah, there can be distortion in how some people are viewing things. And that's what we're going to teach, too, in the training program is, like, it's all about coming back to your own authority, right? So that you know how to differentiate for yourself, like, what's truth and what's not. Right, because you have your own codes, and I believe that that's like where we are at in this evolution right now. Is like, can we pop out of the matrix and be our own authority, or are we going to give everything external to us authority?
Right.
So we're seeing it in everything in the government and the restrictions, and it's all dictated actually by the transits. Right. These the movement of the new ocean that we're in that's constantly, you know, changing and all of that. So. It is really just the conditions of the universe or God or existence, whatever you want to call it, that is setting us up to really extract out the truth. And it's by applying all these, you know, constraints and limitations, because that's where we're at right now, you know.
Would you say the goal would be to be sovereign?
I think right now where we are in the ocean is the goal is to figure out why we exist. It's almost like God is like, why do I exist?
Right.
You know, and it's like that's it's trying to set up all this different, you know, and it's just metaphors, you know, when you say God or Jesus or things like this, you know, people can have their own beliefs and
there's
all that.
There's immediately an image that, that comes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The all-encompassing.
Right.
Usually
everything.
God
means,
right. The omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to attribute. It doesn't have to be a being. It can be like a source field. You can think of it as a being just because we anthropomorphize everything.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, it's funny. Human Design has an acronym for God, and it's Global Orchestration Directory. And it, like, talks about, you know, how we incarnate, right? Because come into the carne.
Yeah.
Right? And the conditions and the formula for, like, all of that and the whole process mechanically on a macrocosmic level, even of how we come into form, you know, which, again, goes into all those neutrinos and, like, what we're doing in the vehicle and how we can, like, work together with the dual consciousness that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There's, there's food for hundreds of podcasts in just that last 20 minutes. Let me pause so we don't run out of time. I'll snip this up. You want to keep going?
Yeah, we can wrap it up. Let's just talk about, like, what the program is and, you know.
Go for it.
Yeah, so we just wanted to give you guys a little snippet of, you know, what we're creating here and that we're going to be doing a lot more podcasts in the future. The Syncretist Initiation Program is starting in a couple of weeks, so you can enroll on the link there that we'll put below. And, Alex is going to be doing the integration and embodiment aspect.
Implementation.
Yeah.
Build it into your daily life. So it's not just collecting books on a bookshelf.
Yes.
Or paintings.
Exactly. Yeah, so we're excited to do more podcasts and, you know, kind of give you guys something new every week that we're wanting to share and just dive into all this awesome geeky stuff about consciousness. Mm-hmm. And, well, yeah, so thanks for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
There will be a newsletter sign up under this just so we can express consistent podcast times, future guests we have on, new courses, new instructors in the courses, mm-hmm. and all of that. Easiest way to be able to communicate with you guys. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to Danielle or just shoot us a comment.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Cool.
I should make you a an easy newsletter link, as in just make a page / newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to go to your site and wait for it to pop up. I'll probably just do that tonight. Shove it at the bottom.
How do you feel about that?
That was good. That was a lot. Like, that was... I didn't think I was going to go there. And I was like, okay, I guess we're getting God on the first one.
I know, you said it. Christ. I was like, let's do it.
That was pretty quick.
Yeah.
All right, while we're here, well, we can just record as much as you have energy for.
Yeah.
And they can be released at different times. Anything else that's on your brain?
Maybe we want to do a little snippet about, like, the topics that we're going to be going into, like we were just talking about. Like, you know, astrology, conspiracy theories, you know, we're going to go into biology and da-da-da-da-da.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. Do we need to do that? No.
We can do it at any point. It's just whenever we have... There's no difference for this other than I'm going to have to splice the shit out of that.
Oh, yeah, actually, I'll try to get better at it.
Well, no, you're fine, because I have that going too, so mm-hmm. I won't have to match it. I have two audio sources going.
Well, we can also try to make them like 30 minutes.
Right.
Just like,
yeah,
you know, because I think that...
And if we have a guest on, it can go as long as it needs to, or if we're on a roll, it can go as long as it needs to. But this, until I figure out how to run it as long as possible... 30 minutes is our cap for this. If we're just going over computers, I just realized as I was looking at this.
I know.
And I was like, oh, well.
Don't care.
Yep, right. Fitting.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to do a little snippet?
About that?
Whatever you are feeling like in the moment.
I don't want to shake.
Yeah, don't force anything. You have plenty of time.
That was good, though. I felt like...
Yeah,
right.
You're on a roll.
Thank
you. Whenever you get talking... It's very clear.
Thank you.
Like, mine, I have to think about, digest it, because I don't have my voice to bounce it off of.
Yeah.
I usually have to do, like, 3 or 4 takes.
Yeah.
Because I can't...
Well, if I ask you questions, it'll probably be different.
Right.
So you're not, like, having to think of, like, what direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, Alex, tell us about this or that. Because that's what works for me, too.
Yes.
Like, when I'm asked a question, I'm like, I don't even think. Just,
right.
You know? Whew. It's been a practice getting into that. Because it's like a zone you have to get into.